In the holy name of Jesus, amen. Good morning. It is good to be with you. So you haven't exactly asked me for it, but I know what you want. You're asking for a short sermon, eh? If we were in the Old Testament book of Jonah, I could give you a really short sermon. Jonah's sermon, in fact. After Jonah's running away from God and his plan for him, after the storm and being thrown off the boat, after the swallowing of the great fish and the 3 days in the belly of the same, when Jonah had finally been spit up on land and had finally listened to God and gone to Nineveh, this was his sermon. Are you ready for a short sermon? 40 days and Nineveh no more. That was Jonah's sermon. 40 days and Nineveh no more. You've got 40 days to straighten up Nineveh. And the preacher sits down. Sermon done, complete. Jesus also gives a short sermon in today's gospel from Matthew 15. It's not as short as Jonah's, but it's still short. Are you ready for the sermon of Jesus? Here it is, verse 26. It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Here's the thing. While in the northwest of Israel, the coastal region of Tyre and Sidon, the setting for all of this, Jesus is with his disciples. He's walking along, and a woman who should not have even been there comes up to him and begins hounding him. Why shouldn't she be there? She's a Canaanite woman. Do you recall the history of Israel? After slavery in Egypt, after the Exodus, where God brought them out with his mighty right arm, after 40 years of wandering in the desert because they were rascals, now Jesus is getting ready to send them into the promised land. He says, I'm going to send you there. And do you remember his directions? You will go in and you will conquer. You will drive out and you will kill. And that sounds terrible. It does. Sounds terrible, maybe. But why so? Because Israel is God's chosen child, and all of those other nations, they are idolaters. They are idolaters. They follow other gods, and the idolatry brings with it all of those other gods, devils, and evils. So God calls Israel to go in and conquer and drive out and kill, yet Israel never did it. Did you catch that? Israel never fully did what God asked them to do. They said, yes, Lord, we will do these things and more, and they never fully did it. The child of promise, God's child of promise, has become the problem child, and other nations persisted among God's people. Thus, how incredible it is then in our gospel reading today that Matthew recalls for us, evoking all of this history. He says, and behold, a Canaanite woman from the region came out and was crying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. Her daughter is demon-possessed. Her gods, her idols, idols of the making of the hands of men and women just like her, seem impotent to help, but she seems to know something of Israel's God. She seems to know even something of God's promise to King David, that he would send to him a son who would reign on the throne forever. She seems to even know that this is connected with this Jesus, this rabbi, in her region with his disciples. And the disciples, for their part, they're simply annoyed with this lady. Maybe kind of like church people when town people show up all needy-like, right? And the disciples say to her, to Jesus rather, send her away, Jesus, for she is crying after us. And Jesus answered the disciples, as you heard, maybe even within earshot of the woman. He says this, I was sent only to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. But then, dear church, this next verse, verse 25, but she came and she knelt before him saying, Lord, help me. Lord, help me. Oh my goodness. If it were an American politician and the cameras were on him or her, as they always are every last day these days, and a person came down kneeling before, crying for mercy, that politician would have to cave, wouldn't they? And they would. In fact, they'd cave in that moment, but they'd make it sound like it was a plan all along. They'd announce a new multi-billion dollar program to help such Canaanite Americans, right? They'd do it. But not Jesus. Jesus gives no such help here. Instead, he delivers the sermon that we started with to a woman on the ground in front of him in the dust, pleading for her daughter. Jesus then preaches our little sermon. It's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. How would you rate this sermon of Jesus? How would you rate it? It's short, we'd say to Jesus. It was a short one. It was a short one. Not as short as Jonah's, Jesus. It was short. It doesn't give her anything to do. Sometimes the law gives us something to do. We think, oh, that's good. That's good. I can muster it up and I will do it, we say, though we never do. But sometimes the law comes just like Jesus' sermon here. And the law comes to us full stop. You shall not pass, the law says. Just as Jesus says here, I've got nothing for you, for it is not right to take the bread for the children and cast it off to dogs. The Father's bread is for the children, and you are not one. I think we'd say this of Jesus' sermon. To this point, it's a hard sermon. It's nothing but law. Stops her in her tracks. So let me ask you again. I guess you'll just have to answer now in your hearts and maybe tell me after church. How would you rate this sermon that Jesus has just given? I also asked myself this question this week. How did the disciples rate this sermon? I think they kind of probably liked it. We don't know for sure. We're not told their reaction here, but we know from our own lives and our own hearts how much comfort we take at times from the division between us and them, right? Or how much comfort I take on a Sunday morning between the division of me and you, right? Yeah, we do that. We know Jesus' disciples were often doing that. They had pride in being Jewish. They had pride in being God's chosen ones. And they had disdain at this point for the outsiders, the ones who didn't belong, the undeserving ones. That's probably how the disciples rated this sermon. But a final question, in this line of thinking at least, how did this woman rate the sermon of Jesus? How did she respond? Even in the face of the full stop law, she hears a way, she sees a way. She knows children, first of all. She knows that children grow up entitled to all of the love that is given to them. At least in their sinful hearts, our sinful hearts, every last one of us as children grew up sensing that we deserve this. My parents love me. That makes sense because look at how lovable I am, right? It's pure right for us, this love of a parent. We feel fully justified to receive it. Yet she also knows the heart of a parent, for she is one, moved to care for her own daughter, moved to seek out a care and a help for her that she cannot provide, her idols cannot provide. But she's begging it now of Jesus. And she just heard Jesus preach a sermon about the children's bread. You know what she heard in that sermon? She heard something in there about the love of a father who provides such bread. She knows that the love of a parent, the love of a father, the love of the Father is all grace. It is all gift. So she knows that the law offers her no way forward. Jesus' sermon offers her no way forward. It stops her in her tracks. And yet it does not stop her cry. Because again, she knows a little bit about Jesus. She knows a little bit about David. And if you know about Jesus and King David, then likely she also knows a little something about Moses, how he was the law giver of Israel, how Israel's God gave such a law. But if she knew all of that, maybe she knew a little bit something prior to all of that as well. Maybe she knew the story of Abraham, how Abram was in a distant land with his fathers and his family, how they were idol worshipers, enemies of God, far off, and yet God called them to a new land entirely by his grace, how God made himself Abraham's God and provided for him and his family, how he promised to take Abraham and make out of him a great nation, Israel, and he did just that. And finally, that last part, how he promised Abraham that through his family, all the peoples of the world would be blessed. And so this woman sitting in dust before Jesus, having just been called a dog, she doesn't fight Jesus. She doesn't push back against the law or twist it or soften it. Rather, she cries out for mercy. Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. And Jesus replies, O woman, great is your faith. Be it done to you as you desire. And her daughter was healed instantly. The keeping of the law does not provide any bread on the table for the children. Nor does the keeping of the law provide crumbs for the dogs. No, only the grace of God makes children, feeds them, and adopts even more into his family today. As a child, I loved asking my own parents and grandparents, particularly my Grandma Ruffner, I suppose, stories about their childhood, about their life. They were not only colorful, they were not only a bit foreign, but even as they told these foreign, colorful stories, I had a sense even then, even if I couldn't put it into words, that they were my story also, right? For I am a part of this family. I am a part of these stories. What I now know about life is this, however, that even as my parents and my grandma were really rich in sharing me those stories must have been selective. Amen? Amen, right? Mom, Dad, tell us all the stories. All the stories? How about this story, right? Those stories must have been selective. They were the funny stories, the exciting stories, yet the harder stories and likely the uglier stories were probably long buried, right? Hidden off in some far-off place. Dear church, at first glance, it appears that we have heard one of these hard stories today, a hard sermon of Jesus about somebody else in their family, the Canaanite woman, called a dog by Jesus. Oh, and the law in it does in fact sting and stop and kill. Yet this woman didn't try to mute the law in the least. Just so may we not mute or mangle it either. Rather, this woman is to us a true sister. And this story to us truly is one of our family stories for us and about us. And having heard it and having found ourselves in this family story, we follow with this woman and her handling of the law. May we also follow her in crying out to Jesus for his gospel. Yes, Lord, yet even the dogs receive crumbs from the master's table. Why would we do so, though? Because though it is true that God is our Father and Jesus is our brother, it is not because of our own merit, our worthiness, or our right. Our only rightful inheritance is this: that as sinners, that as rebels against God, we deserve death and punishment. Yet Jesus allows crumbs to fall from the table to a Canaanite woman, and her daughter is healed. And from the cross, the blood of Christ also falls, and we are healed. We Gentile, sinful dogs, people like you and me. Our Old Testament reading was from Isaiah a few chapters before that, Isaiah 53. Isaiah said this, "Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, yet we esteemed him stricken and smitten by God and afflicted. He was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our iniquities. Upon him was the chastisement that brought us peace. And with his wounds, by his blood, we can say, we are healed." The Gentile woman's daughter was healed. And we now also have been healed and made alive by the innocent suffering and death of Jesus. And as if that were not enough, Jesus died, but then he rose and he lives and he is with us and he grants us his peace and he baptizes us with his baptism, adopting us as sons and daughters of the Father, that we may be his own and live with him now and always in everlasting righteousness, blessedness, and peace. And so, brothers and sisters, today is a good day for the Church of Jesus. And tomorrow will also be a good day, and all of the days to come. For in this new life we have with the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, we are no longer foreigners and idol worshipers, but we are sons and daughters of the only true God who is with us. All of this through the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, his Son, our Lord. Yes, today and tomorrow and all the days ahead are good days for us. And today and tomorrow will be good days for our neighbors also. For we will continue to serve them through our many vocations. And even as we, the church, are here and our Father feeds us a lavish meal, bread to everlasting life through Jesus Christ, even now his crumbs fall to the floor to our neighbors. Proclamation of what God has accomplished in Jesus Christ from our lips, forgiveness and absolution from us to them on account of Jesus Christ, leading to faith and healing and life all through Jesus. God makes it so, and God is making it so. Amen.